The title of our little devotional time is entitled Cries Heard in Heaven. We've just sung the song, Does Jesus Care? And the answer is given to us right in the chorus. Yes, my Savior cares. Cries heard in heaven. We're going to be looking at five categories of cries that are heard in heaven. You know, my mind goes back to the month of March, a little less than a year ago. Specifically, March the 11th, 2011. A great tsunami tidal wave struck the coast of Japan, measuring 9.0 on the Richter scale. There was over 15,846 people that perished. What a tragedy. Many others were injured. Many were buried alive in the rubble, and their cries for help could be heard, desperately crying out to the rescuers to be delivered. And their cries, in many cases, were heard, and many were saved out of the rubble. Just as the cries of many were heard, and they were able to be delivered out of the rubble, sometimes it seems that everything in your world may come down on top of your head, and it may seem to you like you're buried under a pile of rubble. It may be because of something of our own making, or it may be because of circumstances beyond our control, but nonetheless, you are buried and you are crying out for the Lord's help and deliverance. Well, tonight, we're going to look at some cries, and maybe it's one of your cries tonight. Now, of necessity, because we give ourselves predominantly to prayer, we're not going to be able to go in depth on every one of these points. I suppose you could build a message on each one. But we're going to briefly look at these five categories. First of all, number one, there are cries that are heard in heaven in the midst of sin. Yes, in the midst of sin. Isn't it wonderful to know that our Savior is willing to forgive and to restore? You recall in the book of Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2, the Word of God says, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Jonah knew that he was running from God. He had been told to go to Nineveh, and he ran in the exact opposite 180 degree. And he had a whale of a problem, didn't he? He was in the belly of the whale in fear of his life. And the Word of God says, I cried out, and the Lord heard me. Isn't it wonderful that we know that God can hear us even in the midst of circumstances and sins and errors and shortcomings, even of our own making? God is a merciful, long-suffering God. Some of you are praying for children, grandchildren, relatives, brothers, sisters that perhaps are running from God. And you're praying, O Lord, may they find you in the midst of the trial and testing. And you know, isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is always there waiting to hear the prayer of repentance and sincere contrition? You remember in Psalm 32, in that great portion of Scripture that delineates David's subsequent repentance after his sin with Bathsheba and all of the cover-up and transgression involved in that. It says in verses 5 and 6, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And he says, Selah, because those are lessons that we need to ponder upon as well. In Roman numeral number 2, not only will the Lord hear us in the first category, the Lord hears our cries in the midst of sin, but he also hears our cry in the midst of suffering. Suffering is going to come. It's inevitable. It's going to be circumstantial suffering, emotional suffering, family suffering, perhaps in the area of employment and various things. Suffering is going to come. Physical suffering is going to come. The Lord will hear our cry. You remember in Psalm 34 and verse 6, we have the words of David when he said, "This poor man cried." David was pretty well off, but he was a sorrowful person in a difficult situation when he was running from Saul. And the setting of this was when he was in the midst of Philistine territory and he wanted to find his way out, so he pretended to be crazy and he allowed the spittle to go down his beard, something which was an abomination in Semitic days. And of course, it's not very well received today, is it? Now, what would you do if I came in and I was doing that? You'd think Pastor John's finally gone crazy, finally snapped. But the truth of the matter is, David was in a difficult situation, and it says in verse 6, in the setting of all of this, "This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Look at the verbs in that passage. Cried, heard, saved. I'm thankful that the Lord hears the cries of those in suffering. You remember in Exodus chapter 2, the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt. There arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. He had taken away the straw, and they continued to keep the same quota. Moses, from his mother's knee, had heard that he would be the deliverer. Well, you remember when he killed the Egyptian, he took matters in his own hand. Well, the Word of God says Israel was under affliction and they cried unto the Lord. Look at it in the book of Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. Yes, the Lord hears our cries in the midst of suffering. It says here, "It came to pass in the process of time, the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of bondage. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." What a beautiful passage of Scripture. God honors His Word and He honors His covenants. That's something those that think that Israel has been replaced, I think they ought to ponder on some of these passages here and realize that God will honor His covenant with His chosen people. But God hears our cries in the midst of suffering. Oh, there was a lot of tribulation and trial through all of that. But perhaps some of you are going through suffering such as this. The Lord hears our cries. Then number 3, the Lord hears our cries in the midst of sickness. You know, as I look at our congregation, 2011 has been a rough year, hasn't it? There have been a lot of instances, and in some cases the early part of 2012 too. But 2011 has been a rough year for a lot of our people. Trials and testings and a lot of sickness. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 when the Apostle Paul experienced this thorn in the flesh and he cried 3 times unto the Lord. You might think, well, the Lord hasn't answered. He hasn't removed it. But sometimes the Lord has a higher purpose than just the removal of the trial. You recall the answer to that if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, just to review that particular portion of Scripture. In chapter 12, the Bible tells us that he cried unto the Lord. What was the Lord's answer? "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul, I can use you in a greater way with the trial than without. You'll be depending more upon me. Saul of Tarsus, before his conversion, was the type of guy that took the bull by the horns and finished a job, and had perhaps that tendency to go on in the energy of the flesh, even after his conversion. Sound familiar? So often we can fall into that. So the Lord allowed a trial in his life that would keep him leaning upon the Lord. Learning to lean, learning to lean. Can you sing it with me? I'm learning to lean on Jesus. That's a good practice, learning to lean. The word lean means to trust. What's the answer here? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's answer is this: most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, therefore, as we see this point here, our third point, the Lord is able in the midst of sickness. Was the prayer answered? Not Paul's way, but it was answered. And sometimes God answers in ways that transcend our way. And as we go to our prayer sheets here, let's not just be short-sighted in our prayers and pray, Lord, remove this trial. But let's pray a little deeper than that and say, Lord, through that trial, accomplish your deepest of purposes through that trial. I think that's the more biblical way to pray in these requests. Then, of course, in Psalm 103 and verse 3, the Bible tells us that the Lord is our Jehovah Rapha. He is the one who heals all of our diseases. Now, is that speaking about universal healing and the atonement, like some charismatics might teach? No. People come up to me sometimes and jump out of the rocks, out of all kinds of theological persuasions, it seems like. But some will say, well, Pastor John, don't you believe that healing is in the atonement? And I say, absolutely. Healing is in the atonement. But that doesn't mean that universal healing is a present possession. Heaven is in the atonement, right? Are we chronologically now in heaven? We're positionally seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, but heaven is in the atonement, but that doesn't mean that we're there. Some aspects of our redemption are yet future. The Lord has given us the earnest of His Holy Spirit, which is God's pledge that we're going to get a glorified body. Do we have that glorified body now? Maybe you do, but I know I don't. No way. And yet it's in the atonement. Some aspects of our atonement are yet future. So when the Bible says, our Lord God heals us, who heals all of our diseases, what it's saying is not that everybody's disease gets healed on earth, but it's saying that ultimately, yes, the Lord will give us healing. But listen, when healing does take place, guess who did it? The Lord. He heals all of our diseases in the sense that when healing does take place, it was His hand that did it. And we need to recognize that. But in the midst of sickness, we can cry unto the Lord. And sometimes it seems that we're buried under the tsunami of physical illness sometimes. If it's not one member of the family, it's the other. And sometimes I'll come to some of our families and say, how's everybody at the house? Are they healthy all at once? Is everybody doing okay all at once? Because it seems like we take turns sometimes in circumstances and difficulties like that. Then, number four, the Lord hears our cry in the midst of searching. Are you searching? In the midst of searching for God's will. God wants to lead us. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, we have a wonderful verse of Scripture. It's kind of like a Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 promise. It says in Isaiah 30 and verse 21, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, the still small voice. Remember, Eliezer said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. The Lord wants us, but you know what? We got to get away from the cacophony of noise in this whole world and get alone with the Lord to listen to His voice as He leads us. Like Nehemiah, sometimes we got to clear out the rubble too so we could start building the wall, right? So in the midst of searching for God's will, He wants to lead us and direct us. Let's close with number five. The fifth area where the Lord hears the cries of His children is in the midst of souls. Souls who need the Lord. People need the Lord. How much of your prayer time is dedicated towards people who don't know the Lord? You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord would have all men to be saved. And that's stated in the context of our prayer life in the book of Timothy. Look at two passages of Scripture that just really express Romans 10:1, the Apostle Paul's priority, the primacy of prayer and the importance of prayer as he saw it for souls who needed the Lord. Brethren, Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer to God, what I'm crying out for Israel, is that they might be saved. The Apostle Paul wasn't satisfied with his own salvation being accomplished. He wanted to see his brethren, his kinfolk, come to know the Lord. Oh, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And Paul puts himself in that place when he was zealously seeking to stamp out that heresy that was called the way. And he thought he was doing God a favor until the Lord kind of took him down with a pair of hooks down on the road to Damascus and woke him up. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Are you praying for those that are deceived by the error of good works to save them, thinking that their efforts and their abilities and their pedigree and their morality can save them? The Word of God says we need to be in prayer. Then one chapter back, look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. When's the last time we wept for family and relatives and friends at work that we rub shoulders with, frankly, every day? We don't care for their soul. We're more concerned about what they think about us. But here he says, I have heaviness and continual sorrow. And you know, he makes a statement that I don't know that I could make. I don't know that I could make this statement. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I'd be willing to go to hell in their place if it were possible, and of course it's not. But the point is, that was the burden that Paul had for his people. The Lord hears the cries of his people, and he will hear ours tonight as well. In the midst of sin, he's a God who is willing to forgive and restore. In the midst of suffering, he is our deliverer. In the midst of sickness, he is our Jehovah Rapha who heals. In the midst of searching God's will, he asks us to seek his way through his word and walk in it. And he will open doors for us. In the midst of souls that need the Lord, let's cry unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we pray for some that may be listening to this message through our internet ministry that need to realize their lost condition before you. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your ears are opened to our cries. And Heavenly Father, I pray for your special guidance and encouragement. Lord, everyone here in this room, everyone listening to this message, will find themselves in one of these five categories, perhaps a multiplicity of them. And Lord, thank you that you are there for us. And Lord, may we surrender our will for your will. May there be that exchange of wills, and Lord, placing you as the Lord of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.